From the time you go to bed to your middle-of-the-night bathroom run until you wake her up in that special way, the Deep Night Ticket rolls on. From the Woodford Reserve Musers Ticket Compound. Brought to you by Hari Mari, Hagwood Property Tax Consultants, and Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
7 FM, The Ticket.
We've let Tony Smith, our engineer with the Dancing with the Stars fascination, loose on another edition of Thursday Night F Around DTWS Style on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
The P1s have demanded it, and it's finally happening. The biggest event in ticket history. The first official Dancing with the Stars watching party. Monday, October 8th, from 7 to 9 p.m. from the Box Garden at Legacy Hall. Hosted by the Ticket's own Dancing with the Stars savant, Tony the Engineer. Right, Tony?
Dancing with the Stars.
The Hardline will be broadcasting live from 3 to 7. Then, watch Dancing with the Stars inside the Box Garden with Tony.
Dancing with the Stars.
That's right, Tony. Huge prizes, dance lessons, trivia, and interactive games, and you, the P1.
Dancing with the Stars.
Box Garden at Legacy Hall. Dancing with the Stars, October 8th.
Dancing with the Stars.
All right, there it is.
You got this,
Tony,
late.
Isn't it?
Well, Tony is.
Let him be like a half hour.
If I may say something here. Tony!
Closing statement.
Oh, yeah, please.
No, Tony, you first. Go ahead. Right. What do you want to say?
I do want to apologize to all my fans out there because I tweeted out that I was going to do this tonight, and one guy tweeted me back and said, this isn't going to happen. I'll be damned if he isn't right. I just can't.
Who knew, right?
But George is supposedly going all night tomorrow. If he can't do it, I swear right now, I'll take whatever is left from George up to the Musers.
Tomorrow.
Tony?
Yeah, I'm here.
I mean, I was wondering.
Yeah, well, I got to fill some time with something, you know. I got so much content here, so give me a little more music.
This is longer than a Cirque intro.
Yeah, well, okay, there you go. This is Tony the Engineer, and welcome to what we're going to call this. How about the Deep, Deep Night Ticket? Make it a little different from the
Double
Deep Night Ticket.
Double Deep.
There you go. And you're listening to the incredible voice here of one Janice Siegel, and this is a group called the Manhattan Transfer. I thought it was the perfect song for tonight because this boy, we are entering the twilight zone here as I try to take you guys till 5:30 in the Musers. I guess we're going to get out before 5:30, but you know what I mean. Been trying to do this for years and years, and a couple years ago I got close, but then Woodford got in the way, and I couldn't do it. So I told myself, if we ever get the chance again, I'm going to do it if they'll let me. And here we are 2 years later, and we're finally doing it. This song, like I said, is called The Twilight Zone, and the Manhattan Transfer was a group from the 70s, and that's what you're going to hear a lot, is a lot of music tonight from the 70s, and this was kind of their toe dip, if you will, into the disco world. It isn't a real disco song, but it was big in the discotheques at the time. And then I was listening to it the other day, and there's a couple references to a Mr. Miller. And I was thinking of Junior in his Coast to Coast show, which he did earlier this year. I keep thinking he's going to come out and out of this song and take over. But he's already done his show, so let's listen to this here. A couple more references to a Mr. Miller.
Submitted for your approval, when Mr. Miller, who's about to take a trip into oddness and obsolescence through a zone whose boundaries are that of imagination, accompanying him on this journey is the mesmerizing sound of the Twilight Zone.
On a cold and rainy night when Mr. Miller had a rare flight.
Ah, yeah, there we go. Well, like I said, this was kind of what they came up with when they wanted to get into the disco realm. Back in the late 70s, the Bee Gees, of course, turned music on its ears with their foray into disco, and a lot of bands tried to come up with a disco song. These guys, I mean, big bands of the day, ELO, Kiss, Chicago, Beach Boys, Rod Stewart, they all tried to come up with stuff, but it's hard to replicate that sound, but this was about as close as anyone could get. And I think it got the number 4 on the Billboard charts back in the day. All right, well, let's just fade this guy out. Well, back at the studio, we have Trey. Hi, Trey, again.
Hey, Tony. What's up?
Well, you're hearing it. We're going to try to get this thing to 5:30, and I guess you'll be with me the whole time, right?
I guess I have to, right?
Well, you're kind of a short timer. You could probably just bail and not get in too much trouble.
Well, I'm still going to be filling in and doing weekends, so I can't totally just go scorched earth.
Yeah, well, what we're going to try to do is I'm going to try to get you to 5:30, and then some of the guys are talking about going tomorrow night, too, all night. Georgie did it last year. I've heard Bob talk about it. I don't know if Corby's going to hit her hard tomorrow, and maybe they can try to get it. But if they do it tomorrow night and we get it to 5:30 tonight, the ticket will have broadcast over 61 hours continuously of local programming. And whenever I hear something like that, I always think of what the founder, Mike Reiner, used to say. We can do what they do. They can't do what we do. And that's so apropos for this incredible station. Well, like I said, I've been wanting to do this for years. I think I mentioned it about 6 years ago. And Corby and Mike, who I usually would work with, and they were like, if you want to do it, go ahead. And, of course, I hadn't done my nighttime shows yet. I did a couple nighttime Dancing with the Stars shows with our buddy Mike Soroy. And I didn't have much confidence. And back in those days, those guys would go to, like, 3 a.m. And here we are doing 3 a.m. tonight. But, boy, the recent years, that was just a distant memory because they'd only go to about 1 o'clock. And I'm like, I can't fill 4 hours. Well, years passed and years passed. And I thought, well, I'm going to do it in 2019. And then that's when the old Woodford reared its head. It didn't quite happen. So I said, well, if I'm ever going to do it, it's got to be the next time. And, of course, then COVID hit. So here we are 2 years later, and we're doing it. So
it took a pandemic to get you a show.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, I was just thinking, too, I was the MVP of that compound a couple years ago. Can't believe they gave it to a non-top nine guy. But in the ticket history books, I'll probably go down as the longest reigning MVP since it's been 2 years now. And hopefully we never have to miss another year at the compound. Well, I'm going to throw out my Twitter handle, RedRhino300. I can't imagine who's listening now. It's so late. And I'm sure once the deep night ticket signed off, a lot of radio dials clicked off and everybody turned over and went to bed. So I don't know if anybody's out there, but if you want, go ahead and tweet me. I'm not a real Twitter fan. I don't know too much about it, but I'll try to keep looking at it. And if any of you got any questions or anything, go ahead and send them to me. And who knows, maybe we can answer some of the questions out there if there are any. let's see. Let's make no illusion here. I'm not the ticket guys. Those guys are professionals. They're funny. They're creative. They're amazing. And I'm not. I'm just a part-time radio board op, I guess, for lack of a better word. And, you know, I'm going to do the best I can. I do hope, though, that my enthusiasm comes through, as long as I can stay awake, because I do love this station. Started listening in early 1994, not quite a day one, but about as close as you could get. Became an employee in 04, so what's that, going on 17 years, I guess? And just love it here, and, you know, I've never stayed anywhere as long as I've stayed at this place. So I'm going to try to do right by you. Like I said, don't expect too much, but hopefully I can inform and educate a little bit, and who knows, maybe entertain a little bit too. We got some classic ticket audio we're going to play later, and that's always fun to hear the guys bust people's balls and stuff. So, Trey, I guess I just thought I shouldn't have said that, so I don't know if you should dump that or not.
Tony, you say you've been working here, but you should know balls is okay to say on air.
It is, okay. Well, thank you.
You said balls a lot.
You're the expert, so I'm not going to let you handle
that. I'm not an expert on balls, but, you know, it's all good.
Well, just keep your hand close to the dump button there. And how long do we got in this segment? What do we got here left?
I mean, if you want to go to break now, we got two more breaks, so we're a bit early.
No, I got a couple more things. I just didn't know if I should be wrapping it up or what here.
No, keep going, man. You're good. You got it. Yeah.
Well, send me some sound effects or something when it's time to go, and then we'll cut her off.
Okay.
So what are we going to talk about? Well, it's a kind of a short night. I was expecting to go 1 to 5:30, but we got Jake here and Donovan here and the bet from Mike, so that got them to 3. But I really, as old as I am, I don't know a lot about things. There's about 5 things in life that I think I could talk intelligently on. Now, there's more than that. I mean, I know the Jeopardy game show, love that and stuff, but 5 core topics. I know a little bit about the ticket. So if you take a guy off the street and we say, let's talk ticket, I could probably hold my own. Know a little bit about this TV show called Dancing with the Stars. I think the same thing. If you just grab somebody off the street, I probably could hold my own. Believe it or not, I do know a little bit about gentlemen's clubs. That's kind of one of the things.
More than a little bit.
Well, you know, we'll just move on. Know a little bit about baseball. Grew up in the 70s, of course. No internet. 3 channels. So I saw 1 baseball game in the week, and I just pored over the stats on that Sunday newspaper when they would put all the stats out. So I certainly know a little bit about historical baseball stats. And know a little bit about animals. Worked at the Dallas Zoo for 8 years, and then worked at the Fossil, well, volunteer at the Fossil Rim Wildlife Center in Glen Rose. This is my 22nd year of doing tours out there. So we'll probably talk about that stuff. And for you old-timers, if anybody's out there that have been listening to The Ticket, a wise man once said, it's all about options, buddy. And we've got 5 options there, plus, like I said, a lot of classic audio. Some of the things we might do in terms of segments, I'm going to steal a lot of stuff. We might do a What's on Tony's Mind, might have a Dancing with the Stars quick hits. For those of you, again, that are longtime listeners, they used to produce something to the ticket called The Guy's Guide. And it was a really cool little publication, and they would pick a topic. Like, I'm looking at one right now, and it's The Guy's Guide to the American Airlines Center. It's back when it was being built, I guess, in the spring of 2001. And it was a little pamphlet, and all the on-air hosts from the day would be in there. They'd have their pictures, and they would write a little blurb about what the topic was of the day. They would have tons of pictures of ticket chicks with them in very kind of uncomfortable positions. All kinds of sports stuff, you know, all the schedules for all the main teams and all the guys that would be on with them. So we might have a guy's guide to gentlemen's clubs. I want to help the young men out there. Trey's a young man. I don't know if he's done any of that club visiting, but if he does, we got some hints and do's and don'ts that will make his life a little easier. And I don't know. That's just enough, I think. We're going to be playing some return music. It's going to be music of my youth, so it's going to be a lot of disco and dance music and funk music, I guess you would say, because I kind of my radio listening habits were about 1975 to 1985, long before many of you were born, I know. But maybe I can introduce you to some cool songs, too. So that's about it. Is it okay to go to break now, Trey?
We're a bit early, but we can go to break, Tony, if you want.
Are we a bit early?
We can go to break.
Tell you what, let me just mention one more thing, and this is kind of a breaking news sounder. I should have warned you about this. Do you happen to have like a fanfare or anything back there within reach that's easy to get to? Put you on the spot there a little bit, but I've got kind of a big announcement. I mean, it's big to me. It's not big to probably anybody else, but got something in the works, and I'm working with one of the Ticket's expatriates, T.C. Fleming, and we're going to have... Yeah?
I know that guy.
Yeah. And did you ever find anything for the sounder?
Let me find something for you, buddy.
Yeah, okay. Doesn't even have to be a fanfare. Just throw something out there, I guess. But, yeah, I'm going to meet with T.C. in the fall, or, yeah, about August probably, because T.C. and Jake, who you just listened to, they do a podcast called It's Just Banter, and I was on with them a couple of years ago.
I heard that. It was very good.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Thank you, Trey.
I edit their video podcast, so.
Oh,
yeah,
my
I'm
gosh.
Big fan.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, I just, I didn't know anything about it. I've never been on a podcast. Certainly heard about them, but I'm kind of, oh, boy.
There we go.
Okay. So maybe this fall, the plan is I will be doing my own podcast reviewing Dancing with the Stars season 30. Oh, my gosh, applause to you. I really feel like a ticket host now. Yeah, it's a big deal to me. Season 30, that's kind of a milestone season, to say the least. I know the show's not what it once was, but they still have a lot of the old things that made it great. And who knows, maybe they can come up with some new things and make it great once again. But, yeah, we're going to do probably about a 12-week podcast. The season's usually about 11 weeks long, so we'll do one before the season and one to wrap up probably. And should be a lot of fun. We're going to have giveaways, I think, and all kinds of things. You know, for those of you that have heard me on the air, we give away a trip to the show every year. And hopefully they have some fans again this year, because we got one to give away from last year when I was on with the Hang Zone. But kind of a big deal for me. So if you don't get enough Dancing with the Stars tonight, tune in this fall. Okay, now we can go to break, Trey.
You're not going to tell anyone about this, are you? What happens on Deep Night Ticket stays on Deep Night Ticket in the P1 Trust Tree during the Woodford Reserve Musers Ticket Compound. Brought to you by Hari Mari, Hagwood Property Tax Consultants, and Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Well, all right.
Welcome back, P1s, to the Deep, Deep Night Ticket. And I was going to tell you who this great song is by and the name of the song. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something crazy here. For the first responder that can tell me who the artist is of this song and the name of the song, and tell me to my email address, dwtsp1@yahoo.com, they're going to win a ticket prize back. I've been with the station a long time, so I've got quite a bit of old vintage ticket giveaways that I can do. So once again, who's the artist and what's the song? And just email me at dwtsp1@yahoo.com. This way I'll see if anybody's listening out there. But I probably won't check the email until after the campout because it's kind of crazy out here. All right. Well, I wanted to do this next segment early, and I was expecting to do it around 1:30 because the guys usually ended up at 1. But now it's a little later, but I still wanted to do it. So if there's any P1s out there, you guys can help me out because we're going to enter the P1 ticket court right now. All right. Again, this is probably for you old-timers, but there used to be a show called The People's Court. I don't even know if it's still on or not.
I've seen reruns.
Have
on
you?
TV, yeah.
Judge Wapner?
Sure.
Rusty the Bailiff?
Sure. I know Judge Judy. I'm sure that's different, though.
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, everybody today, Judge Brown and all these guys, all started with Judge Wapner back in the day. So, yeah. Okay, well, today's case is Tony the Engineer versus the Gentle Musers. Boy, I don't know how much you guys have listened, but the Gentle Musers have abandoned the Dancing with the Stars bit over the years. All the other shows still kind of keep it up and still think it's funny, but the Musers have turned on me. Yet, whenever I work their show or whatever, George always asserts that, oh no, we still support it, but I think I have evidence to the contrary. So I'm going to present some evidence here, and I want you guys to vote with me, I guess, again on Twitter, although I don't have time to look at it. I don't know if you can look at my Twitter, Trey, but it's RedRhino300. I want to know if you think the Musers are still supporting the bid or not. And evidence item number one is every weekday show at the Ticket has allowed me to come on and ask a Dancing with the Stars question to their guests. Some of the shows, multiple times. Heck, the Hang Zone even called me to ask me to do it. So every show has done it except, that's right, the Gentle Musers. And boy, they don't mess around either. I've only tried four times. One was to Michael Irvin, and that was the very first one. And Junior actually replied when I asked him. I said, could I come on and ask Michael Irvin a question? And then I tried to sweeten the deal. I said, well, you know, I asked Ralph Macchio a question on the Bad Radio Show, and it went really well. And Junior actually replied. He says, interesting. Let me ask the guys about it. And I thought, wow, this might happen. And then I sweetened the pot, and maybe this turned him off. I don't know. I said, you know, I'll donate to your favorite charity and George's Senior Source and Gordon's Boys Club? I think it's Boys Club. Anyways. Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And I thought,
it's the Lee Harvey Oswald Foundation.
There you go. That could be too. And I thought, is that Plugola Payola? And I'm like, no, that's for customers or whatever. So I was waiting in anticipation because Michael was going to be on the next day. Waited all day. You know, I texted him, of course, in the morning when I found out. No response from Junior. So I get up early the next morning at 5:30. So I'm there first thing. And I'm like, is Michael still going to be on? Is what I was thinking. And they announced it. And I said, I texted Junior again. And I said, hey, did you get a chance to talk to the guys about me coming on and asking Michael Irv a question? And what I get? Crickets. So he never replied. Just broke my heart because in the early days, Junior was my biggest ally. He kind of took the Dancing with the Stars bit to the next level. At the infamous Girls Night Out, where I rattled off the champions, I think I did it at the top of the show. I can't even remember now. But, you know, I thought, what's going on here? They say they support it, but they really don't. So then I tried with Emmett, and I get a one-word answer. No. Tried it with D. Ware, and I get a one-word answer. But with D. Ware, it was even a little different. And you're going to have to bear with me here because I'm doing some stuff here late night. And I want to play a little audio here. Of them, they just finished talking to DeMarcus Ware, and not only would they not let me on, they had some fun at my expense.
Season 27, Dancing with the Stars. Our Dancing with the Stars expert, Engineer Tony.
Did you hear George there? An audible groan. I don't know if I can get that back real quick. Let's see here. Let's just listen to that one more time.
Season 27, Dancing with the Stars. Our Dancing with the Stars expert, Engineer Tony, sent me a text before that segment. May I call in and ask DeMarcus a Dancing with the Stars question? I just texted back, no.
You're such a jerk.
George laughed. No, he's not.
You know that he's not very well liked in this world, and you capitalize on that.
Okay, then the rest of that's just more piling on. But listen to George. He has the audible groan that he laughed, and he says, no, Junior's not being mean by saying no. So, again, it kind of belies when he says, oh, yeah, we support you. And then I tried one more time with Mark Cuban, and Junior actually said more than no this time. He said, I get a kick out of it when you ask me, but the answer now and always will be no. So I think that's enough evidence right there. But, oh, what's that, Trey? Did you say we had a phone call?
Bad acting, bad acting. Yeah, we got the person on the line right now, Tony.
Great.
Oh, who's this?
Yes. The event that I have witnessed occurred at one of George Jub Dunham's famous sex parties at his palatial mansion. And as usual, the one true muser, Junior Spank Miller, was attending Giorgio's party, and things were proceeding as normal, with all manner of hedonistic activities occurring. Suddenly, the magical, mystical one approached Junior and demanded that Junior never allow Tony the Engineer to call in with a Dancing with the Stars question to any muser guest. The Miller man protested on behalf of Tony the Engineer by saying, that is so ridiculous, and reminded International Sweet Seat of the P1's overwhelming approval of the Dancing with the Stars bit. This enraged the Jubinator, who at the time was feasting on a bag of his famous hot fries. Jub screamed, I'll show you, Chief, then jumped into his pickup truck from D&M Leasing and repeatedly ran over Junior's right foot. As the Jub laughed hysterically, Junior hurled his bicycle tire pump at the massive one. George did manage to dodge the bicycle pump, but in the process, spilled his bag of hot fries all over the ground. Now it was Junior's time to laugh hysterically. International Chirp Chirp was now so angry that in one swift move, he shoved his massive forearm under the neck of one Spank Miller, pinned him against the cubicle wall, and reiterated that no Tier 7 employee shall ever be allowed to ask a Dancing with the Stars question to a muser guest. It was at that moment that Junior Miller reluctantly agreed, and Tony the Engineer had just lost his last ally on the Gentle Musers. I knew I had to leave, as I feared for my safety. I must go now. I cannot speak of this anymore. I must go now.
Whoa. You there, Deep Throat Informant? Oh, he's gone, I guess. I guess I should have announced who it was.
Sounded like the Ticket Mouse, kind of.
Well, yeah, kind of a weird Deep Throat Informant there, but just more evidence. We finally know what happens now. I didn't know why Junior abandoned me, and now I know. So how are we in time, Trey?
Bro, you're pretty early.
Oh, okay, well, let me keep going then. I hate to keep asking you. That's really bad, isn't it? Well, I'm not a radio professional. Okay. Well, let's look at one more item of evidence here. And it's show reaction. You know, for those of you that know the bit, I'll go on air, like, for a birthday or when they're talking about a celebrity that's been on Dancing with the Stars. And, you know, I'll just tell them that. And most shows are like, oh, it's a nice fun fact, you know, trying to help the show and so forth. Let's listen to a muser's reaction here to a time when, let's see, who is this was going to be on now? Oh, this was David Hasselhoff. I can't remember what exactly was going on. I think he was doing an e-break or something, but they got done with that, and I was on remote with them, and we'll see what happens here if I can get this pulled up. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I
hesitate to mention this, but David was on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Can we just go one under segment without...
Why didn't you hesitate like all show?
Dancing with the Ding Dong.
Well, George seems extra angry today about it.
I'm not extra angry.
Oh, boy. I don't know if you heard that reaction. Let's do it one more time just for fun. So they're talking about David Hasselhoff here, and then I just jump in and try to help the show a little bit.
Hey, George.
Yeah?
I hesitate to mention this, but David was on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Can we just go one segment without...
Why didn't you hesitate like all show?
Dancing with the Ding Dong.
George.
Oh, my gosh. And that was a Muser's pile-on. We had Jer giving me a negative drop. We had Fernando chiming in. And then, of course, Gordo said, oh, my God. And I think even my buddy Junior said, good God. But, of course, who's the one that really rips me? The Jubinator. If you heard what he said there, he said, can we just get through one segment without a flipping Dancing with the Ding Dongs reference? Well, first of all, I doubt when Cuban was on and Emmett was on and all those guys were on that he called it Dancing with the Ding Dongs. But to a Tier 7 employee, you betcha he's giving it to me. And then the other thing that I thought was funny was he said, can we just get through one segment? Well, I worked the Musers eight times, I guess, in the year 2019. And if you add up all the segments, that's of 104 segments that they did that I was the engineer for. And I mentioned Dancing with the Stars, including this Hasselhoff reference, three times in 104 segments, a less than 3% mentioning rate. So when George says, can we just get through one segment? Yeah, you can get through 97% of them when I work with you. But I don't think that's going to matter too much to him. And then let's listen to a Hardline segment when I mentioned Antonio Brown was on Dancing with the Stars. They were talking about an Antonio Brown. I was on a remote, and let's see what they had to say.
The prolific nature of Antonio Brown is just staggering, as those numbers suggest.
Yeah, pretty good dancer, too.
Oh, was he on Dancing with the Stars?
Dancing with the Stars.
Did he win?
Dancing with the Stars.
No, he finished in first place, actually.
Oh.
What year?
Just last year.
Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars.
A fun fact that I did not know, that Antonio Brown was a Dancing with the Stars contestant.
Well, he was with Von Miller, too, last year.
Oh, they got the football game.
Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars.
All right.
Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars. And then Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
There, wasn't that something? Everybody laughed, and they asked me what season he placed, and what season was he in, and where did he place in the season. David Mino gives me positive reinforcement with my drop. Danny even jumps in, their producer, and kind of goes along with it. And Corby says, oh, I didn't know that. Thanks for the fun fact. A little bit different reaction, don't you think? And I got to give you just one more, George, here. This is when he was going to be on, he was going to be on the football firing squad, I don't even know what it's called. It's some Picks with Friends is what it was. And he was on with Bad Radio, and he's calling in, and Bad Radio was nice enough to mention that I was going to have a Dancing with the Stars watching party coming up. That was a big, big, big day in my life. After the Hardline, the ticket sponsored it. We all got together and watched the show and had dance lessons and gave away prizes and stuff. So they announce it, and then they go to their little segment about football picks. But George can't just do that. He's got to give me another one.
Football job.
Yeah.
Hey, Georgie.
Hey, I got a question about our Dancing with the Stars contest.
Okay. George.
But if you do win, do we furnish the gun, too, to blow your brains out if you do win?
There you have it. The number one hater at the station of me is George Dunn.
Oh, boy. That one still hurts. Do we need to listen to that again? I think we do.
We are kind of cut close.
Oh, are we? Okay.
No, you can play it again. I'm kidding. Just go ahead.
All right. Here we go.
Dunham of the morning
news. Football friends.
Football job.
Yeah.
Hey, Georgie.
Hey, I got a question about our Dancing with the Stars contest.
George.
But if you do win, do we furnish the gun, too, to blow your brains out if you do win?
There you have it. The number one hater at the station of me is George Dunham.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. Yep. Why'd I play it again? I feel sick again. Do we have time for another one, or do we got to get going?
You're fine. Go ahead.
I want to play one more. It's just another hardline one, again, to kind of show you the difference between the two shows. And I didn't even bring in any of the other shows that were also very positive when I try to give the show a little fun fact and an added thing. Let's listen to the hardline, and let's see. This is going to be – they were talking about Tucker Carlson, you know, the political guy. Well, he was on Dancing with the Stars, too, so I had to let him know.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you guys know Tucker Carlson was on Dancing with the Stars? Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars.
I didn't, what year? Tony. Not a year. What season?
Or what season? That would have been season 3.
Where did he finish?
Last place.
Oh,
who won that year?
Emmett Smith, yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
You're not.
He's only one of three contestants to ever get a 3 from the judges. So,
who were the other two?
Steve Wozniak and Michael Bolton.
Amazing. God. Absolutely amazing. Ladies and gentlemen.
Do you people hear this?
Give it up for Tony the Engineer.
Do you realize what's going on here?
He is a...
So well, when Tucker Carlson was on, did he goose step?
Boy, Tucker was on so long ago. He was in season 3. He was eliminated immediately. And you know, I don't know, I probably shouldn't say this because he's such a wacko. But when he came on that show has a way of bringing out positivity in people. And I did not expect him. I expected him to be a wet blanket and just kind of a scowling face that you see in all the memes of him and everything.
I think his face is stuck like that.
It might be. But, of course, he's a lot younger than season 3 was, gosh, 2006. But he came on there, and he smiled, and he made an effort. And, of course, he was an atrocious dancer. But he almost
atrocious
felt,
human being, too.
Well, yeah. And that's what I said. I was going to say I almost wanted to root for him, but I didn't. But I almost did because, you know, he was on my show that I love, and he was giving it the proper respect. But that's the side story. Did you hear the hard line? Boy, Corby got all excited and everything, and then, you know, he's announcing it to the people at the remote. Do you believe this guy? So anyways, I think that's enough evidence. So back to the P1 ticket court theme song, if you still have that. Uh-oh. Well, you get the idea. Oh, beautiful. That's the end of the P1 ticket court. Hopefully the P1s have voted out there. I probably won't see it again until after Campound because it's so crazy here. But thank you for listening. And it is, what time is it? It is 3:49 here on the ticket. Oh, boy. Coming up next, they said we couldn't do it. Segment 1 of The Guy's Guide to Going to Gentlemen's Club.
Broadcasting somewhere beyond the Kingdom of Nye, a.k.a. the Deep Night Ticket. During the Woodford Reserve Musers Ticket Campound. Brought to you by Hari Mari, Hagwood Property Tax Consultants, and Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Tick.
Forbidden lover.
Welcome back, P1s. It's 3:58 on the ticket. You got Tony the Engineer here trying to take you to 5:30 a.m. the Gentle Musers. And I guess we're calling this thing the Deep, Deep Night Ticket. One of my favorite jams of all time, My Forbidden Lover by a group called Chic. Came out great year, 1979. I'm jamming like crazy. My disco ball is rolling around. Got crazy out here with lights on it in the middle of the woods. All right, well, welcome to the next segment, and it's a highly controversial segment. You guys that know the station and know a little bit about me, you probably know me as Dancing with the Stars Tony, maybe Menopause Tony from a couple years ago at the compound, really, the last two compounds.
When's that segment?
Well, that was going to be even later, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to have time to fit it in tonight. These guys went later than I thought they would.
Maybe you can ask the Musers at 5:30.
I don't think the Musers want to talk to me. Mm. I don't think they would appreciate being handed off the show by a Tier 7 employee. I don't think so. But some people may know me, too, as Subway Spreadsheet Tony. I don't know if you guys heard that a while back, but Bad Radio had me on. There was a year where I chronicled all my Subway restaurant visits, and I went 211 times in that year, and I made a spreadsheet up, and I covered all the sandwiches I ate and made sure I was getting all my bonus points, and I actually ate free for a whole month that year because I went there so much. But anyways, some of you might not know, although the Hang Zone now certainly has publicized it, and the Hardline did too back in the day, that I did have a dalliance with gentlemen's clubs back in the day. Now, we're talking long time ago, when I was a young man full of testosterone and energy and all that stuff. And I will say right now that hopefully Norm doesn't, I don't know, lose respect for me, because I love Norm, and I know he's a religious guy. And this really shouldn't be a religious thing. It's a legal activity.
Norm's producer is Mike Soroy, Tony. I think you're all right.
Oh, the stories I could tell of you and me and Mike. Oh, boy. Oh, anyways. This was a legal activity, and I will say this in my defense, if there was a defense to be made. It all happened because of the ticket. I swear to God, and we're going to get into that, because prior to 1994, when the ticket started, I had been to a club three times, a total of three times in my life. They were all bachelor parties, and they were with a ton of guys and just had a blast. And so it was all positive experience, of course. Those bachelor parties can be fun and crazy and so forth. But that was it, you know, three times in my whole life. And so I always thought of the clubs as that kind of thing, you know. It's an event type place. You don't go on a regular basis. You go for a big event like a bachelor party. You hang out with your guy friends, and drink some beer and get a little happy and look at some pretty women. You know, and I just never thought of it as a regular thing to do. It wasn't because it was immoral or anything like that. It was never on my radar. I grew up in a rural town of northern Indiana. Never was exposed to anything like that. And then when I came to Dallas, I don't know, I started living and got my first girlfriend and all kinds of stuff, so it never really was in my world. Well, that all changed when the old ticket came on board, because I always listened to all the shows back then. It was a period from, like, basically 94 to 98. I was just ticket crazy. I would had cassette tapes of all the shows, even the nighttime shows, and you know, I would listen to them all the time, and they were my heroes. They had the job that I wanted, meaning they get to sit around, well, not sit around, but, you know, talk sports with their buddies, go to sporting events. And when they go to these sporting events, they would have trips out, which they still do. And in the early days, I heard a lot on air about their trips to gentlemen's clubs. Not so much these days. The guys have gotten older, and I don't know if these stories I remember from way back then really happened, but I tend to believe they do because they were all younger men then, and many of them unattached at the time. And, you know, you're getting paid to go cover a sporting event. What are you going to do at night? Well, they're going to go out and have fun with their, you know, each other. So Mike and Grego is the one, this Mike Reiner and Greg Williams, the original Hardline team. They always talked about their club visits. And again, I didn't know much about the club visits because I'd only been three times in my life. But even I had heard of a couple of the clubs they were talking about. They were legendary clubs. One was Mitchell Brothers in San Francisco, and one was Mons Venus in Tampa. And I'm not even sure how I heard of them, but I did grow up in the 70s, and the 70s was a crazy decade for, I guess, pornography, for lack of a better word. Triple X theaters everywhere. This was before the VCR came into vogue. And the 70s were just a, I was too young to remember much, but it was just, a, I think, free-for-all decade. You know, have fun. That's when disco hit, you know, in the mid-70s. Have sex and have drugs and everything, because everybody was liberated from the miserable 60s, I guess, with, you know, civil rights problems and assassinations and, of course, Vietnam. And it was before the AIDS mess of the 80s. So I think the 70s was this kind of crazy spot where they all went wild. Well, during that, I guess, classic age of porn, there were three movies that just stood out. They were like the classic movies. Deep Throat, The Devil and Miss Jones, and Behind the Green Door. And, of course, I never would see those. I would have no chance in rural Indiana until I think I was 16, and a buddy of mine snuck in at the Wawa Drive-In in northern Indiana, and we watched that doubleheader. It was always a doubleheader, it seemed like, Deep Throat and Devil and Miss Jones. And, of course, as 16-year-old boys, we were like, oh, my gosh. And it wasn't even that explicit from what I remember, but just watching them at all was kind of, pun intended, titillating, I guess. And so there was a third movie called Behind the Green Door, and I saw a poster or something somewhere, and it was a Mitchell Brothers production or direction. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, the Hardline's talking about going to Mitchell Brothers in San Francisco. And again, you got to remember, these guys were my heroes. And I just said, I was a young man, I didn't have any money, and I didn't travel much, but I said, somehow, some way, I'm going to go visit Mitchell Brothers and Mons Venus. Because that's where my heroes were, and I'm going to walk in and I'm going to say, this is where the Hardline was. I know, weird, but that was kind of my goal, and of course I since have done that. But that was kind of the initial introduction. Well, then along comes a guy at the nighttime show at the Ticket called Richard Hunter, and he had a show called Big Dick's P1 Wild Ass Circus. And I love Richard because he would actually talk to the minions. He was the host that would talk to us when we would do appearance work for him, and very inclusive, whereas the Hardline was more the harsh, brittle approach from their old promo introduction. And Richard would go to clubs in town as a Ticket employee. The Ticket would accept ad dollars and would advertise the clubs. And then we would go out to them for appearances, and I think remotes. I wasn't in engineering yet, but I think I remember at least one remote. And he would usually have big guests with him. Dennis Rodman was at one of them. Ron Jeremy, who was a porn star from the 70s and 80s, was at one of them. Dennis Hoff, the owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch, where Big Dick and his wife got married a little bit later, I guess, on. And I was there as an appearance, I mean, as a promotions person. And so I'm walking into a club pretty much for the first time with my little Rubbermaid bin of Ticket goodies. I go to the corner and set it up and put my tablecloth out and get my magnets out and my stickers out and my pens out. And then I look up and I'm like, whoa, there's all kinds of women walking around with their tops on. And I'm like, and I'm getting paid to do this? And, you know, the station, it was almost like a validation that my station, which I dearly loved, was saying it's okay to go. And again, I didn't really need that because it was never a moral issue for me. But I'm like, the Ticket's advertising, we're getting to go out and work it, and they're paying me to be here. And, of course, Richard Hunter, his show was a lot about sex and stuff. So they had the L.A. house party and all kinds of crazy things. And he would have P1s come up and do roundtables with them. And I loved him because of that, because he started that before I became an employee. And just to go up to the station and see, you know, the inside of the studio, and I'm like, whoa. And Richard, again, was very welcoming and really appreciated the P1s. And then I became an employee, and he still let me do it. So that was a big introduction. And then the third thing was the Hardline moved with the Rangers from spring training Florida to spring training Arizona. I believe this was 04. And, you know, I was the new employee, and I don't think Mike and Grego even knew my name for the first couple of years. But I thought, my boys are going out to Phoenix. I wonder if they know about the clubs out there. Again, thinking that's all they ever did, and I don't know if that was the case or not. But I said, darn it, I'm going to go out and do my heroes a solid. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to bring it back to baseball. I'm going to do a scouting report on the clubs in Phoenix. And I'll be damned if I didn't do that. I went out there a couple weeks before spring training. I hit 10 or 12 clubs. It's kind of expensive because they have cover charges and stuff. But I went back and I wrote a little scouting report, and I sent an email to Mike and Greg. I'm like, here you go, guys. And, you know, I broke it down. Like, this is an expensive place. This has, you know, a good ambiance, great talent, whatever. And, of course, I never heard back, and I didn't expect to, really. But, I don't know, a couple months later or something, I'm in a promotions meeting at work, and the promotions director, my big boss, came to me afterwards and says, hey, I hear you sent Mike kind of an interesting email. And I'm like, this was a female, too. And I'm like, uh-oh, am I in big trouble or something? And no, she laughed at it and got a big kick out of it. And I go, oh, so Mike got it, huh? And she goes, yeah. And then I became an engineer and got to know Mike much better. And one time, randomly, I asked Mike, I said, hey, Mike, it's been years, but do you ever remember an email I sent you and kind of detailing different clubs in the Phoenix area? And he goes, oh, yeah. He said, we got a kick out of that. I don't think he said it that way, but he says, yeah, we got it and appreciated that, but they never got back to me. So that's kind of my introduction to the clubs. Again, you know, all ticket-related. Again, I don't need a justification, I don't think, but I can honestly say that if I wasn't a ticket employee and didn't find this station and listen to it, that I probably would still have gone to like six clubs by now with three more bachelor parties or something. But again, I haven't been in years. I'm an old man now, and I don't think too much has changed in the industry, really. And, you know, I'm hoping I can give you guys some hints and tips coming up. I think it's about time, isn't it, Trey?
About time for tips and tricks.
A break.
We can do a break.
Okay. It is 4:10 coming up next. We'll do Guy's Guide to Gentlemen's Club Part 2.
I don't know exactly what you're listening to, and neither do we, really. But this is what makes the Deep Night Ticket from the Woodford Reserve Musers Ticket Compound so much fun. Brought to you by Hari Mari, Hagwood Property Tax Consultants, and Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Time.
contracts I have to sign. When there's so little time, I'm in the big time, big time. And I know success is all mine, all mine. Big time, big time. Gonna have a good old time.
Welcome back, P1s. It is 418 on 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket. You got Tony the Engineer here taking you to 530 and the Musers. And we will have completed a 24-hour broadcast day.
The song they're saying, born to funk in the meantime, right?
Big time.
Okay.
Born to funk in the big time.
Making sure.
Yeah, this guy... You got to know this guy. His name's Rick James. I actually played a return cut from him earlier with Donovan and Jake. You don't know Rick James, obviously, right?
I know Rick James, bitch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that Chappelle thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was Prince before Prince. Kind of an innovator. And boy, before he got into the drugs, this guy could bring it. He was the funk master.
I do like some funk. I like George Clinton, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy had it all, and then, of course, he got into drugs and sex and rock and roll and died young. I think it was mid-50s, and actually went and visited his grave up in Buffalo, New York. That's kind of a side thing there. But, yeah, we're taking you to the Musers here, and we're right in the middle of a segment called The Guy's Guide to Going to Gentlemen's Clubs. So hopefully it wasn't off-putting to anyone. This is The Ticket, and it's late night, so, legal activity. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but my big belief in life is pretty much is if you're not breaking the law and you're not hurting people or animals, you know, live and let live is the way I think. And, of course, I wouldn't have brought this up except it was all ticket-related. We kind of talked about that in the first segment. Not blaming anybody or justifying it. It just was – that's how it happened. Mike and Grego talking about it on their trips, Big Dick Hunter's show at night, and being paid to go out to clubs as an employee of the ticket, and then the old Ranger spring training trip to help out my hardline boys as they moved to Arizona to do Rangers spring training. By the way, too, before anybody thinks, well, what about your wife or whatever? My wife was on board with it. You know, there's all kinds of people. There's swingers and different things. But she would go to the clubs with me. And one of the funniest things we did, there was a club we'd go to. Again, this is long ago. A janitor would come out on the main stage, I don't know, every 10 songs or something. And he would mop it down and, you know, clean everything off and make it sparkle and everything. And they would play music. But there was no dancer up there, of course. It was the janitor. And my wife would always go up and throw five ones at him, you know, because that was just kind of a tip thing. And he always smiled, and everybody got a big kick out of it. But, yeah, we would do that. It was actually kind of a Halloween tradition. We'd get all dressed up in our Halloween garb and go to the club. And she certainly visited the ladies' club in town, too. There is a ladies' club in town.
What did you dress up as?
Same thing I did for the Let's Make a Deal thing. I don't know if you saw the tweet I sent out today. I had to dress up Let's Make a Deal to go to Dancing with the Stars, Dracula or Vampire or whatever. Mm. But our own Danny Bayless, I guess, worked at Le Bear, the ladies' club in town, for like a half a day or something or a day. And I still want to hear that story. I've always just heard bits and pieces of it from Danny. But I just can't get this image out of my mind that Danny's there serving drinks, and he's not wearing a shirt, but he's got suspenders on and a bow tie. I don't know. It just cracks me up.
Hot.
Okay. Well, anyways, this is a huge business, by the way. The numbers I'm going to quote here are from a couple years ago. I'm sure COVID has hurt it, just like everything else. But about an $8 billion industry, approximately 4,000 clubs in the U.S., employs 40 to 50,000 employees. Not that many employees necessarily, because most of the workers would be independent contractors. They come and go as they please. And they're not actual employees of the club. millions and millions of dollars in property taxes and sale taxes and alcohol taxes. So it is a pretty big industry. But again, you know, I kind of went, the ticket got me started going, and then next thing I knew, my buddy and I would travel around the country going to baseball games. Our big thing was we're going to go to every baseball stadium. And, you know, what's two young men going to do in a different city when the game is over? Well, what the heck? Let's go have a beer at the club. And, you know, we didn't do anything other than just go have fun. And we would go to two or three clubs even to check them out. And the wise would always tell us when we left, now, you guys have fun, but don't have too much fun. So we had our marching orders there. But obviously that's a lot of clubs over the years, so I feel like I'm somewhat knowledgeable. And got a few tips here. I would say they're not earth-shattering. They're pretty basic. I would think they're kind of a combination maybe of the Norm and Mary travel show tips, if you ever heard those on the ticket, and the Hints from Heloise segment that our old buddy Dave Lane would do on the orphanage. So let's do tip number one here. No.
Flash!
I love that. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Trey. Yeah, tip number one, again, very basic, but know the club, the kind of club you're going into. You know, there's basically, and by the way, these are all my opinions. I didn't get these from anybody or a book or anything, but in my experience, there's about three types of clubs you have. You have your upscale club, the premier gentleman's clubs, and, you know, that's a small percentage, maybe 10%. Think of Las Vegas. Think of resort cities that have a lot of travelers, that have a lot of money, and they're there to, like the old saying goes, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. They just want to let loose, let their hair down, and have some fun. And this would not be a club for a normal guy, you know, like most of us probably are. The prices are very high, very expensive. The covers are usually high. The drink prices are high. The dances you may want to get from entertainers are high. And the dancers who work at these clubs, boy, they're professionals. They know what they have to look like and what they have to do to make themselves look a certain way. And they know how to make money. And you're not going to get the person to sit down and talk with you, probably. They're there to make money. And if you don't want to get a dance from them, they'll move on to the next person. But that's usually not a problem in these clubs because they're upscale clubs, and the people that go there have a lot of money and they just want to have fun. So like I said, there's not that many of them, and most of us normal guys, I guess you'd say, probably wouldn't frequent those. On the other end of the spectrum is the dive club, and stay away from this at all costs, and again, in my opinion, it's kind of the seedy side of the business. You know, there are bad stories and there's bad things that go on in the industry. But, you know, there's bad everything. There's bad doctors, there's bad priests, there's bad teachers, there's bad police. And, yes, there are bad club owners and bad clubs. And, unfortunately, these tend to be, you know, kind of beat up all the way around. The outside building is usually bad. It's in a bad neighborhood, usually in a densely populated urban area. And, again, maybe 10 to 15 to 20% of clubs, you wouldn't want to frequent that because you don't want to encourage that kind of behavior. So the middle group is about 70% probably of the clubs, and it's your normal everyday club. And Dallas has a ton of them, and so do many other cities. And within that group, you kind of have a upper tier and a middle tier and a lower tier, just kind of like in income classes. You know, you have a middle class, but you've got an upper middle class and a lower middle class. And I would caution, though, you don't really need to judge a book by its cover. Sometimes some of the most beat-up clubs that, you know, they don't take care of their building or their signage or even the interior can still be a lot of fun. But
how do you rate the quality of these clubs? Like, how is it the girls? Is it...
Well, it's funny you should mention that. Because early on, thank you, Trey. Yeah, early on in my career, you know, I kind of got the reputation among my friends. Well, hey, Tony, we're going to Denver. What do you recommend? And in the early years, I didn't pay any attention. I just said, oh, let's get in the airport and let's go to the ball game and then let's go to some club. Just look it up and go. And I never paid attention to really where it was, what was the name of it. I just kind of knew if I had a good time or not because I probably wasn't going back there. You know, I was visiting the city to go to a baseball game and that was it, unless we wanted to see all the stadiums a second time around. Well, my friends were like, well, you're not really helping us. What's going on here? So I actually started kind of keeping track, and I know it's the old Subway spreadsheet in me. I actually had a spreadsheet for a while back in the day, and, you know, I would have the club, and I would have a numerical rating system, like you were asking, Trey, how do you rate it? I kind of broke it down into, I think it was four categories. I don't even really remember now. But prices, you know, prices of everything, drinks and dances and cover and just prices of everything. Most of us are on a budget, and so if it was a pretty pricey club, heck, I've gone to clubs where the cover's $40 or $50 and just to get in, and you're like, whoa, what? So that's obviously the exception, not the rule, but that was one thing. Yep, you would look at the, I guess you would say, quality and quantity of entertainer. You know, do they have a lot of people that are dancing for the customers, or is it just like, I don't know, 15 guys and two dancers? That's not a good ratio if you want to go get dances, if that's what you go for. But that's not what everybody goes for. You know, we usually just would go and hang out and got chat up your buddy. And
but you can go to any bar and do that. Why did you want to do strip clubs specifically?
You know, I guess, like I said, I just kind of was introduced to it. And I guess at the most basic level, I enjoyed going to them. You know, I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but there's a reason that the porn industry, and I don't even know if that's considered porn industry, you know, but porn or sex industry, there's a reason it's gigantic in this country. And I know everybody does stuff online now, and you don't even need to go to clubs, but there is kind of a, how would I say this, a human attachment thing. I've known many guys in clubs that go to the club and they never get dances. They actually just want to talk to someone, you know, a female. And it's kind of sad in some respects, but there are so many lonely people in this country and in this world. And I know there's other things you can do. You can, you know, join a church or something else. But that's one thing that, that people do sometimes. And I've seen guys go in there, and I've even talked to them, because I know this is going to sound weird too, but I started going so much. It wasn't for the factor of, oh, I got to look at some great-looking women. It was almost like a science experiment where I would go in and I would observe things. And I would see a guy and, you know, he would just sit there and talk to people, but he would never get a dance. And I actually went over to guys and I'd say, what's going on here? You're not getting any dances. He goes, oh, I never do. I just come and, you know, they get to know the people and they'd say, you know, I don't know, Jen's my friend now, and we talk about each other's lives, and I just want someone to talk to that's friendly, and you know, I don't care if I have to pay for it. Now, that's another situation we can get into later. You know, there's not an official charge if they come and talk to you, but if you're just going to talk with ladies and you're not going to ask for a dance or something, that's how they make their money, you need to tip them, and you need to tip them well, because they're making the effort to talk to you, and, you know, they're missing out on other income at the club because they're doing that with you. So
what would you do usually?
You know, in the early years, it was more of getting dances because, again, I guess maybe that's the testosterone factor or something, the young man. And I, sure, why not? And again, I had, you know, the wife's blessing or whatever, and I returned it to her. She could go to Le Bear and rub on guys' six-pack abs if she wanted, because I'm never going to have them. So, you know, again, that's just, all couples do things differently. I've known guys that their wife would kill them if they went to a club. But I was lucky enough to find a friend that would go to all these baseball games with me, and then we just go to a club afterwards. So it really wasn't anything, some kind of deep meaning with, like, an ulterior motive. It was like, hey, let's go hang out and look at some pretty gals and have some drinks and then go home and go to a baseball game tomorrow. It wasn't any more than that, really. But anyways, that's the first tip. It's important to know what kind of club you're going to, because, like I said, you don't want to keep supporting these dive clubs, and you'd find it out very quickly when you went to it. And they tend to be a little more dangerous, too, just in general. A lot of locals there, and if you come in and get a dance from maybe the local gal that they're usually hanging out with, they might not look too favorably on you. And then the Premier's Club, again, most of us can't afford that, so it helps to know what kind of club. And I would suggest, too, if you're out of town, we do this sometimes. We don't know out-of-town clubs, so during the day before the game, we would drive by the club, and you'd see what part of town it was in. You know, how was the parking lot? Did it have, like, a lot of lights? Was it paved, or was it all rutted out and beat-up looking? You can't always tell a book by the cover. Sometimes we'd go in the afternoon and get a drink and say, oh, yeah, this looks like a cool place. We'll come back or whatever. So for us, a lot of it was safety. I know when you have two guys or more guys, you feel safer. But things can happen at a club, and we'll talk about that maybe in the next segment. But let's go on to tip number two. When do we need a break, by the way?
Sports Flash.
Love that. Love that. We got time for tip number two?
Quickly.
talk to everyone at the club and tip generously. Again, not rocket science. Humans react better when you smile and you talk and you look them in the eye and maybe ask them questions about their job. And that can help you at a club. That's a hard one for me because I'm not a real talker and just going up to strangers and stuff. But the more you talk to people and the more you're nice to people and the more you tip them, the better it's going to be. Quick example, I would always stop drinking an hour and a half or something before I knew I had to drive home. And I got it down to the point where I swear it, I was fine, and I never had an issue ever in the last millions of years. But I would go to the bartender after tipping them liberally all night and having drinks from them and say, man, I got to start sobering up. Can I have a bottle of water? Bottle of water is going to be $5, $6, $7 in these places. And I can't tell you how many bartenders would just say, here's the bottle. And I go, what do I owe you? And they go, I don't worry about it. And I'm like, thanks a lot. You know, and I still tip them a couple bucks. But again, they got used to me and they knew who I was. And they're like, ah, this guy's okay. Let's help him sober up. And they didn't charge me for it. Same thing with everything. You know, there's bathroom attendants at these places, and a lot of them. Men go in, you go to the bathroom, it's kind of awkward. And there's a guy in there that's an attendant.
Glory hole?
I hear you have a little experience with that, Trey.
Yeah, glory hole, yeah.
No, at Cumulus, didn't you have a bit where you did something?
I did.
I don't remember the details, but...
it's not important.
Yeah, yeah, they had those guys, and they had their mints and their gum and everything, and they put soap in your hand, and they give you the towels to wipe off. I can't tell you what a fountain of information these guys are. Seems like they've all been there a long time. They know the club. They know the policies. They know the rules. They know this. They know that. And 9 times out of 10... they appreciate a guy just smiling and giving them a couple bucks when they leave. Maybe the next minute, walk in, it's like Norm at Cheers. Hey, he's back, you know, and kind of cool. So I guess we're running out of time now.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Okay. All right, it is 4:34. Coming back, we're going to finish this up and then move on to something else. Welcome back, P1s. It is 4:42 here on the ticket. Tony the Engineer here taking you up to the Musers. Boy, less than an hour from now. This song right here, tell me the name of the song and the group that's doing it, and email it to dwtsp1@yahoo.com. First correct answer is going to win a ticket prize pack. Once again, this song name and the band's name.
Debris, sand, gel,
Okay. Well, let's finish up this guy's guide to going to clubs. Hope I haven't put anybody off or not, but just simple tips here to make your club-going experience a little, I don't know, easier, safer, all that stuff. Tip number three.
Sports Flash.
Take as little as possible into the club. This should be self-explanatory, too, but just give you a quick example. We were in Denver a few years back. A friend of mine and I, you know, went skiing. It's 10 degrees out, and we got a coat on, we got hats on, we got gloves on. And I get out of the rental car, open up the back door, throw all my stuff in there, take the coat off, take the hat off. He's like, what are you doing? And he knew better, but I said, well, you know, I'm not going to take all this stuff in here. It's a 10-second walk to the door. Yeah, we might be cold for a little while, but you know what we're going to do once we get in there? We're going to take all that stuff off.
Going to heat up.
And there you go. And you don't want to take the chance of losing stuff. Like, you know, we had a nice ski jacket on that day. So do we want to lose it? Do we want it stolen? Of course not. And things like that can happen in clubs because you're preoccupied sometimes with other things. Put the coat on behind your chair. Maybe it falls off. And next thing you know, you lost your coat. And it's pretty miserable. So don't take anything more than you have to in. And keys and phone are another big thing. You know, back when I did clubs way back in the day, remember, this happened long ago. I never had a phone. And did have keys, of course, usually. But if you're going with a group of guys and you're not driving, don't take your car keys. Don't take your work keys. Don't take any of your keys. If you're with the group again and you don't have to have a cell phone, don't take your cell phone because it's going to potentially get lost. You know, I always got a kick out of Corby here at the station. When we would do remotes, he would put his phone and his keys and everything just out on the table. And I always thought, gosh, I got to watch that because, you know, everybody was coming up to say hi to him and stuff. And I was always afraid he would, you know, lose his stuff. But that can happen at the clubs. Let's say, you know, you take your keys out, your phone out, because maybe a dancer asks you to do that. Sometimes when they give you the private dance, they want you to take that stuff out of your pocket because it pokes them and it makes it uncomfortable and so forth. Well, you put it on a table, and then the dancer's between you and the table. Again, you can't sit and look at that the whole time. That's not what you're there for. So you don't want to lose a key or any keys. You don't want to lose your phone. So don't take them if you don't have to. Okay, tip number four.
Sports Flash!
Take only cash into the club. It's just, again, a common sense thing. Whenever I go gambling, I set a limit. I don't know, $200. Once that's gone, it's gone because it's easy to spend a lot more than you should, especially if you're with a group of guys. You know, you're all kind of tapped out, but you're still having fun, and the guys are like, man, I need another round, and you whip out the credit card. Ooh, boy, that can get expensive fast. You know, prices can really be high, especially if you're there at night on a Friday and Saturday, and it adds up like crazy, and it's just too easy to do. So if you only have cash and you spend all that and it's gone, then you can save yourself a lot of heartache the next day when you're looking at your bank statement. Same thing with ATM cards. You know, all these places have ATM machines. And again, I haven't done this in years and years and years. But when I did it 20 some years ago, I remember my bank charged me a fee, and then they always charge you a convenience charge. And next thing you know, you go to that thing two or three times, you're talking like $60 in fees. And that's not something you really want to be doing if you're watching your money and so forth. So don't take any of that stuff in. Another thing about having a credit card is almost always, again, I never used one for years, but they would take the card and they would take your license and they would hold it until you cashed out. And a lot of us have issues with privacy and stuff. And it's like, well, where's that card going? Where's that driver's license going? So you don't really know. So why mess with that? Just don't take it. And again, it saves you spending too much money. As far as taking cash in, I would take multiple denominations in. The last thing you want is a big wad of cash in your pocket. Because I swear, when you start taking that out and making change and shoving it back in, it's like
back
a spring
loaded
or something. Back in your pocket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like it seems like it goes everywhere and you're digging around on the floor looking for money and stuff. You don't want to do that. So get different denominations. I would always get ones and fives and tens and 20s and put them in different pockets. So you're going to have a pocket full of ones, a pocket full of fives and tens, and a pocket full of 20s.
And how do you determine how much you're going to give?
Well, that's kind of up to the person, but I was going to say $1 tips are still acceptable as far as I know. Back in the day, they certainly were. Now, it's interesting. I want to say around 2005, the clubs I had been going to, they started giving change. So if you give $20 to the bartender or whoever and you want to get change, they'd give you 21s. Well, the club started for some reason, well, I know why, but they started giving you $2 bills as change. So you'd get 10 $2 bills. And the first time that happened to me, I'm like, what's up with this? And they're like, well, I don't know. It's company policy. And I'm like, oh, they want you to tip $2 instead of $1. But the $1 is still acceptable. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, you're not going to get a medal for giving a dollar out. It's almost a requisite thing. You need to tip everybody, your waitress and your bartender and the entertainers and all that stuff. But one still is an acceptable tip. Now, the 5 and 10 pocket, that's going to be for alcohol if you're going to drink, because the drinks can get really expensive really quickly. Again, like I said, on a Friday or Saturday night, oh boy, you're paying $7, $8, $9 for a beer, and then you give a dollar or two tip. You can't get out for under $10, Harlan. You don't want to be fiddling around with $1 bills, so have your 5s and 10s for that. And then you also want to have 5s and 10s if you want to tip a little better. I've actually tipped the DJ before in clubs. You know, I like certain songs, as you're hearing some of the songs I've played tonight. They may not be played at a club, so I'm like, hey, can you play so-and-so? And give them $5, and they're like, sure. And you do that two or three times, and then you go back a fourth time, and they're like, don't worry about it. I'll just play one for you. So that's kind of the old thing about just tip people well and be nice to them, and you'll have a good time. Okay, let's finish her up here. Tip number 5.
Sports Flash!
All right, this one's kind of a catch-all, and it's go early, be safe, and have fun. I say go early because, yes, there are times where clubs have trouble. And if you look at the details, almost always it's after 1 a.m. Definitely, the later you go, the more dangerous the club gets. And it's been my experience. I haven't been late at a club past midnight in, again, years and years and years. The late arriving crowd is usually young men. And young men late at night are usually inebriated or drugged or something, and then they're full of testosterone. So you see a lot of guys coming in with a swagger and with their chest puffed out. And believe me, you don't want to be messing with that. Even if you're another young dude, you know, things can get out of hand quickly and you could get hurt. And I'm a big believer in being a wimp in those situations. You know, number one, don't be in it. But if you are ever confronted or something, which will happen if you go late, or could, I'm saying, you know, just back out of it. You'd rather be kind of a wimp and be safe the next day than to be a tough guy and end up in the hospital or something. So you can avoid almost all of that by going early. And the other good thing about going early is a lot of clubs do not charge a cover if you go early. And they have happy hours or two-for-ones or free buffets, lots of different things. And you also get to see the daytime shift of entertainers and the nighttime shift of entertainers. So you can kind of see that's very different from my experience. The crowd that goes during the day is different than the crowd that goes during the night. So if you want to just see kind of both sides of it, and like I said, have to pay a little less and get out before it gets dangerous, that's what you should be doing.
Have you ever been on a major holiday?
Sure, yeah.
What is that like?
Again, it kind of depends on what holiday you're talking about.
Like Christmas.
You know, I have been before, and not all clubs are open then, but I have been before, and it's usually pretty sparse. Don't get me wrong, you know, men have to be home with their family sometimes. Father days are very, very light, but then you got some of the ones that are maybe not so family-oriented, like, I don't know, 4th of July or some other holiday that is not necessarily like you got to be with your family type thing. They can be kind of busy because guys are off work and, you know, different things like that. So that just kind of depends on the holiday, I guess. And, of course, the club, too. You know, some clubs are just naturally busy all the time, and some are not. And even if it's a busy day at the club that's usually not very busy. You go to another club that's a similar club in size and so forth, and you're like, wow, this club's a lot busier. And it could be different reasons for that, but it usually comes down to prices. And, you know, some clubs charge $3 cover, and others will charge $20. And so that can make a difference, you know, if you're on a budget or something. And then, you know, just have fun. I can't tell you how many times I've been in clubs, and the guys are, like, slouched in their chair, and they got a scowl on their face, and I don't know, they're looking at their phone, and if someone comes up, an entertainer comes up, they kind of just grunt, and they just, no, I don't want to. They don't seem like they're having a good time. You got to remember, the entertainers here have a pretty tough job. Imagine some of the people they got to deal with. So don't make it any harder. You know, look them in the eye, smile at them, ask them a question, whatever you want to do. Again, people
have you ever
respond,
asked them about Dancing with the Stars?
I don't know about. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, because I've been out to L.A. a few times, and you know, check out a club in L.A. And what are you doing out here from Dallas? Oh, went to this TV show called Dancing with the Stars, and most of them are very receptive. But you know, it's their job to be. They're not going to say, "Well, that's stupid. That wouldn't be very good for business." But have mentioned it a couple times, yeah, and I've actually had a couple gals say, boy, I've always wanted to go to that show, you know, and that kind of thing. So there you got a perfect thing to talk about. So that's good. But again, if you're going to sit and talk for a while and you don't get a dance, make sure you tip them when you leave. And then again, this is, what the heck, I've gone this far. I thought, I've always seen on TV, and my wife told me when she would go to the ladies' club, that it's a happening place. The customers are up, hooting and hollering and shouting and having fun. And I'm like, man, that doesn't happen at the gentlemen's clubs. Now, the bachelor parties are a little different. Sure, those they are there to have fun. So we were going to go to a club, and she was going to take me there and show me, you know, how it is. And for some reason, we went on New Year's Eve, and the cover was just outrageous. And so we didn't go. But and then she kind of grew out of it, you know, as we got older. And I'm a little bit younger than her, so it took me a little longer to grow out of it. So one night I said, I'm going to go to the club. And unescorted males cannot get in, to at least they couldn't when I went to the females' club. And so it's going to sound creepy, I know, but I went to the parking lot, and I saw a couple of ladies walking in, and I kind of like went way around in front of them so I wouldn't scare them or anything. And I kind of said, hey, ladies, you mind if I come in the club with you? And they kind of looked at me funny, like, what? What are you talking about? And I said, well, unescorted males can't go in. I'll pay your cover if you let me go in. And they kind of laughed, and they said, okay. Well, that was an expensive cover night, those two and me. We went in the club, and all I could think of was Danny Bayless again. I'm like, he worked at this club. And I was halfway expecting him to come out, but I knew he wasn't going to. But again, it was kind of the familiar setting, and the ladies actually hung with me for a drink or two, and told me about the details of the club. And the first thing I noticed was the whole center stage was ringed with ladies. And they were jumping up and down and drinking and laughing and high-fiving each other. And I'm like, these gals know how to party. And I had so much fun that night watching the ladies have fun. I wasn't there to see the guys. But another thing that was interesting, they usually had three or four men on stage, whereas the gentlemen's club usually just has one lady. You know, not always, but typically, I guess you'd say. But I said, man, I wish we could bottle that, the fun time the ladies have, and bring that to the gentlemen's club. But doesn't seem to ever happen. But if you are going to go, have fun, be nice to people, and yep, time to go. So it is 4:56. I think we got one more segment as all, Trey?
Four seggy.
Oh, I guess we don't have any more. Killer's
no,
got to get
second,
ready for...
Yeah. Well,
Killer's got to get ready for Muser. So okay. Thank you, Trey, for everything you did tonight. Thank you for the P1s. If anybody stayed up, I had a blast doing it. You know, if you know me at all at this station, I love this station, and I'm so thankful I have this job. And I hope you had fun tonight. I know it was a little different, a little offbeat. Believe me, I had a lot of other cool stuff, but the boys went late tonight. Had classic ticket audio. We were going to do some Dancing with the Stars fun stuff, and who knows, maybe someday if I'm still employed, I'll do that for you. But thanks for everything, and happy Campound.